Good day. From the Bridge Hunters Chronicles, this is News Flyer for January 15th, 2022. I'm Jason Smith, and this is our first podcast of the new year. Hope you had a wonderful holiday season, and may 2022 bring better times and make your dreams come true. We have a lot of news to cover in this podcast, and with that, here are the news stories you'll be listening to. Motorway viaduct in the Sauerland region of Germany to be replaced. Diversions and congestions expected for 5 years. Replacement is also expected for the second oldest bridge in the Ahrtal Valley, damaged by last summer's floods. Restoration of the Roebling Suspension Bridge in Cincinnati lasting longer than expected. Stalemate over the future of the Frank J. Wood Bridge in the Federal Appeals Court. Section of the Florida Keys Viaduct restored and reopened to traffic. And lastly, the pursuit to turn a Missouri River crossing in Kansas City into a lineal park. Plus, we'll have an update on the Bridge Hunter Awards as we're coming down to 6 days left before we announce our winners. Now the news. Lüdenscheid, Germany. One of the main arteries connecting the German states of North Rhine-Westphalia and the Frankfurt region has been closed off to traffic and is causing headaches for kilometers on end. The Tabrücke-Rahmede Viaduct spans a valley near Lüdenscheid, carrying the motorway 45, which connects the Ruhrgebiet industrial area and the Frankfurt metropolitan region. The bridge was built in 1968 and has a length of 450 meters with two lanes in each direction. During a recent inspection last month, cracks were revealed in the structure that were considered potentially dangerous, resulting in the bridge being closed to traffic as well as a large section of highway leading up to the structure. Now planners are racing to complete the preliminary plans to build a new structure at the same spot as the old one. The viaduct is expected to be demolished beginning this year, and a new bridge is scheduled to be in place and open to traffic in 5 years' time. Currently, traffic has been divided along the local roads going through Lüdenscheid, though there have been reports of lots of congestion and daily traffic jams. This will be the new norm until the viaduct is completed by the end of 2027 and the motorway 45 is reopened. Travelers should plan in more time when traveling through the Sauerland region, not only because of the viaduct, but it's also because it's recovering from the catastrophic floods this past July. Detours should be considered, including using the motorway 4 at Olpe when leaving the motorway 45. This motorway will take you to Cologne, where you can join the motorway 3 that will take you to the Ruhrgebiet. Bonn, Germany. A very important historic landmark spanning the River Ahr was partially destroyed during the floods this past July, one of hundreds of bridges that were either severely damaged or destroyed in the catastrophic flood of the century, which costed more than 400 lives in Europe, 180 alone in the German states of North Rhine-Westphalia and Rhineland-Palatinate alone. Now the St. John's of Neumuck Bridge in the village of Reck is about to become history. The town council made that decision before Christmas, and it was based on the recommendations by a structural engineer from the Structure and Permit Division Nord, SGD Nord for short. In the report presented to the town council, he recommended a new structure that was built higher than what the multiple-span stone arch bridge had, in order to allow for water to flow freely along the River Ahr. The stone arch bridge had a length of 43 meters and a height of 5 meters above the water level at the center of the span. In July, floodwaters destroyed more than a third of the bridge. The structure was built in 1759, replacing an earlier stone arch bridge that dated back to the Roman Empire. It had survived multiple flooding along the Ahr, including once in 1804 and again in 1910. It was renovated in 2008 with the goal that the bridge would survive another century. The bridge is the second oldest bridge along the River Ahr, behind the Steinbergsbrücke, which was built in 1717, but also sustained substantial damage during the floods. Its future is also in doubt. The demolition of the structure in Rech, which had been a perfect vantage point for photographers, will start in the spring. A replacement span is being planned, which will be 3 times as long as the historic structure. Cincinnati, Ohio. Plans to reopen the Roebling Suspension Bridge spanning the Ohio River between Cincinnati, Ohio and Covington, Kentucky have suffered a setback. According to several news sources, the reopening was delayed as a result of additional repairs to the bridge's main survey. The new target reopening date is January 24th. The Roebling Bridge has been closed to traffic since February of last year. It was originally scheduled to reopen to traffic by the end of November. Engineers with the Transportation Cabinet have since determined that additional repairs are needed, which includes the replacement of expansion joints on the northern approach. A pedestrian sidewalk will remain open to the public during the project's extension. The suspension bridge was designed and built by John A. Roebling in 1866. At a span of 1,069 feet, it had been the longest suspension bridge in the world until the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge in 1883, which Roebling had designed but died during its construction in 1870. His son Washington and his wife Emily finished the project. According to transportation officials, the bridge in Cincinnati regularly carries around 8,100 vehicles per day. Boston, Massachusetts. The fight to save the Frank J. Wood Memorial Bridge between Topsham and Brunswick, Maine, reached an unusual ruling that has resulted in a stalemate. The First Circuit Courts of Appeals in Boston ruled on January 7th that all but one argument stated by the Friends of the Frank Wood Bridge, with support from the Historic Bridge Foundation, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, and other local groups, were considered invalid. The plaintiff's arguments rest on the assertion that replacing the bridge is a violation of federal law. They claim that because the bridge is eligible for historic listing in the National Register of Historic Places, its protection under the Clause 4F of the 1966 Department of Transportation Act, which states that the Maine Department of Transportation may not approve any projects that require the use of land from a designated historic site unless there is no feasible and prudent alternative to the use of the site, was considered invalid. The one ruling that went in their favor was the question of calculation costs that were imposed by the Maine Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Administration, who were the defendants of the appeals case. According to the judge, there were considerable flaws in the calculations of costs between rehabilitating and replacing the historic bridge, and therefore ordered the Federal Highway Administration to revise and recalculate the cost of the bridge before they can proceed with presenting proposals to the public. In a press release statement provided by Elizabeth Merritt, Deputy General Counsel at the National Trust of Historic Preservation, quote, "The court decision is of national importance because it demonstrates that highway agencies cannot invent cost estimate methodologies that are designed to result in the loss of treasured historic resources like the Frank J. Wood Bridge," end quote. With this ruling, both parties are in a race against time, as the Maine Department of Transportation wants to let the contract to a construction company this spring so that work can start on replacing the bridge in October. However, the Federal Highway Administration will have to make revisions to the cost methods that will be satisfactory to all parties. At the same time, the preservation parties will also have to work together to ensure that there is a mutual agreement no matter which direction it goes to. Still, this legal matter may not be over just yet. At the present time, the bridge is still open to traffic, but only to cars and bikes, and there is consideration to close the three-span through truss bridge altogether should it deteriorate any further. And now, some headlines for you to listen to. In Lancashire, England, a historic bridge was raised to the ground by an oversized lorry. The incident happened on December 15th on the road in the Ribble Valley in England. Both the bridge and the lorry were considered total losses. In Fort Atkinson, Iowa, a popular historic bridge spanning the Turkey River in Winnipeg County may have a new home, but in Arizona. A family has been inquiring to purchase the bridge for relocation. The bridge was built by D.H. Young of Manchester, Iowa in 1892 and one of the last remaining ornamental truss bridges in Iowa. Since 2003, it has been closed to all traffic. The Clinch Avenue Bridge in Clinton, Tennessee is history. Crews dismantled the continuous through truss span over Christmas after a new span opened to traffic. The 983-foot-long bridge was the last of its kind to have been built by the Bethlehem Steel Company in Pennsylvania. It opened to traffic in 1939. In Cincinnati, a historic icon is also to become history. The Western Hills Viaduct, featuring a double-decker arch span built in 1932, will be replaced with an 8-lane cable-stayed bridge, which will provide better access to Interstate 75. Construction will start in 2022 and last 6 years. Once it's open, the viaduct will then be demolished. And lastly, two bridges in Australia were voted Bridge of the Year for 2021 by Spanning Bridges, an online social media column. One of them is the Seacliff Bridge, which was built in 2005 and features a series of viaducts that span the coasts along the Pacific Ocean. The other is the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which turns 90 years old this year and is still the most popular bridge in the country. Furthermore, the name Trevor is the most commonly used name for a historic crossing, according to the Onion magazine. Congratulations to our winners from Down Under. And as a memo, we will look at the Sydney Harbour Bridge later on this year as Australia's key icon will celebrate its 90th birthday. Now back to the news. Key West, Florida. One of the most popular destinations in Florida one should visit is the Florida Keys. This 100-mile segment of highway crosses dozens of islands between Miami and Key West, all of it through the longest highway in the United States, the Highway Viaduct, the U.S. Highway 1. The segment was connected with a railroad viaduct that was built in 1912, which was later converted into a highway for cars in 1938. In 1982, a replacement bridge was built to the north of the old viaduct, and it was later abandoned, though it was visited by many pedestrians and cyclists. Now, a segment of the viaduct, known as the 7-Mile Bridge, has been restored and repurposed as a combination bike and pedestrian path. Rehabilitation construction on the oft-photographed 2.2-mile segment of the old 7-Mile Bridge began in 2017, thanks in part to $77 million provided by the state, Monroe County, and the city of Marathon. Restoration included the structural steel and bridge joint system repairs, new decking, pedestrian and bike handrails, and other enhancements. Hundreds were on hand for its grand opening this past Wednesday. The segment is part of the viaduct that has been on the National Register of Historic Places. U.S. Highway 1 is considered the longest highway in the United States, stretching from Key West all the way up to Bangor, Maine. Congratulations on this monstrous work that was carried out. And now we'll conclude with our story on how to save a key historic landmark. This story takes us to Kansas City, where city officials are working to provide funding to repurpose the Buck O'Neill Bridge. The three-span steel through-arch bridge was built in 1955 and spans the Missouri River, carrying U.S. Highway 169. At the present time, a replacement span is being built to the west of the bridge, and historic span is scheduled to be demolished by 2026. Yet, if city officials have it their way, the Buck may have a new life after all, as a lineal park crossing. According to the news source Flatland, officials are working together with city planners and other interested parties in converting the historic bridge into a crossing where it would feature a combination of park and trail that would cross the river and then terminate in Kansas City's business district. This concept was derived from a lineal park that exists in New York City and features a park on the stretch of an elevated railroad that had once served traffic 100 years earlier. Costs for this project on the Buck are estimated to be at around $50 million for the project alone, plus additional costs for maintenance. The project, which was launched in 2019, has received substantial support and officials are looking into using state and federal funding for this project. To find out more about this project, click on the link that's provided in the News Flyer article. And that's it for this edition of the News Flyer. Next week, we'll have a special edition of our podcast as we will be presenting our award winners, the winners of the 2021 Bridge Hunters Awards. And we'll also announce the Author's Choice Award winners as well. You still have time to submit your votes for the Bridge Hunters Awards, but you only have 6 days left. Voting will end on January 21st at 7 o'clock p.m. Berlin time, 12 noon Chicago time. Click on the links that will take you to the ballot. Each of the 10 categories has a link at the beginning where you can submit your votes. If you're not so sure which candidate to vote for, you can also look at the photos of the candidates on the Chronicle's Instagram page. A link to that page is also enclosed as well. Multiple voting is possible as there are some really unique candidates in this year's voting. Good luck with the voting. Happy bridge hunting, and we'll see each other next week. Happy trails till we meet again. Mach's gut. Tschüss. Take care and bye now.